Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a revelation to recognize that you're God's. That He owns you and He's a mighty good Lord. He's a mighty good Savior. He's a friend of friend, a King of kings. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Good to see all that can make it tonight. Quote Brother Colin, you know, there in Michigan, he said, man, in the wintertime, you really begin to find out who loves God, who don't. He says sometimes it's just really, really sparse and things like that, you know. And sometimes we just get a little too earthly-minded, I think, about it.
Amen.
It was pretty bad yesterday morning. We all made it to work. It can be bad on a Wednesday, and all of a sudden things change. And it's like, well, Lord, help us to get a heavenly vision. You know, and I believe it is the Word of God to go to work. Sure do. I think it's part of a man's responsibility to take care of the house, but how much more to be in God's house? Hallelujah. And God always makes a way if we'll just believe Him. That's right. Why cry, Moses? Just speak and go forward. That's right. Get in there and do the work of God. Hallelujah. Good to hear the testimonies and things. And know God is still God. So if you have your Bibles tonight, 1 John chapter 2. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Remember that this Sunday, so I don't have to say anything later. We're doing church order here. And talking about some things coming up. We'll do that on Sunday. We'll do our financial report for last year on Sunday as well. Let's keep those things in prayer. And we'll just have a good time in the house of the Lord tonight. So,
amen.
Amen. Come to expect to hear from God?
Amen.
You will then. If you come to just fill a pew and kind of do your time, you won't hear from God. No, you won't. God could be talking right to you. That's right. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. And let me just quote you another scripture, because I don't want to take time getting there. But Proverbs 11:1 says this, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Hopefully I can say this right. I'd like to preach tonight the balanced and the abominable. Let me say that again, the balanced and the abominable. This will make sense in a little while here. Let's bow our heads before Him. Hallelujah. As we approach His Word, is there something in your heart you'd like to lift up with a hand? Say, Lord, you know the desire of my heart, and I know the Word is what'll give me my desire tonight. God bless you, brother, sister. Let's pray and invite His presence. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that wherever two or three are gathered, You promise to be here, Lord. We thank You that You're a God that we don't have to figure out. We don't have to study and do all these things to know what You're doing, Lord. We just have to yield ourselves, and You'll show us that You're in every corner, every crevice of our lives. You're involved, Lord Jesus, and You're just waiting to manifest Yourself in our lives. We pray, Father, that everything in this world, even our obligations, Lord, let it fade away right now, and let our vision be set above. Let it be set on the world to come. Let it be said on You, Lord, that You might be able to drop revelation into our lives and bring forth fruit to Your name. Heal every sickness that's in our bodies, Lord. Heal everything that Satan's tried to do, all of our backslidings, Lord. May You come and just rejuvenate the Christian to fight and press the battle another day. Have the glory in this service, Lord. May everything exalt You, and may You leave with a smile on Your face that Your children were able to express their love to You. We love You, Father, so much. You mean everything to us, Lord. Have the preeminence now in our lives, we pray. Just sweep through our souls. Sweep through every crevice of our lives and make it the way You have it. Commit this service now fully into Your hands. Have Your way, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The balanced and the abominable. I've got some quotes I'll read here in a minute. You know, we talk about balance a lot in the message. Or staying in what we call the middle of the road and to not go off on tangents and extremes. But I like to really delve into this topic tonight and really make sure that, you know, that we're not erring somehow. Because sometimes when people say they're being balanced, really what they're doing is being carnal. When some people are saying they're being balanced, really what they're doing is compromising. When they say they're being balanced, they act like we're supposed to have half God and half the devil. But that isn't what balance is all about. Balance is about staying with the Word. That's right, because the Word does balance itself out. When we get onto little tangents and extremes that we'll talk about here in a little minute, but we begin to realize that it's not God's fault that this happens. God's Word will keep you on the right path. That's right. It'll keep you from going too far to the right and too far to the left and keep you right in the middle. You know, we got a lot of times preachers will, they'll do one of two things. Either they'll preach, how do I want to say it? They'll preach all the way on this side. You know, maybe people are cold and formal. And they'll say, and they either preach on it or preach it's okay. You know, it just depends. And then over here they'll preach that people are fanatical, right? And they'll say, well, that's just the way some people are made up. They're just louder than others and all this stuff. And some will say that's good. Some will say it's bad, whatever. And then they'll kind of do this, where they put them on top of each other. And then they make this one okay. They make in between okay, and they make this okay. Well, here's the point. Is any of them people worshiping God anyways? When it's all done, it doesn't matter if you look formal. It doesn't matter if you look in the middle. It don't matter if you look fanatical. Are you really worshiping the Lord in the first place? That's what balance is really when it's all broke down, the style that we worship God. Is it what counts? Hallelujah. The way that we say, amen. Or amen. And we'll get on to that. We do that with preachers. Y'all do it with me. Come on now. Don't lie. You'll say, I have to hear them, and that's okay. I don't mind you picking up on mannerisms. The point is, if that's all it is, we've got nothing. Yes, if we can't get past that and say, but the truth, what was the truth behind that statement? Hallelujah. My, he said it mighty loud, but I've heard a lot of roaring going on with it's a bunch of kitty cats. That's all it is. They just round around, and there ain't no bite behind that. That's right, but I want a real lion roar that when he speaks, you know God's on the scene. You better back up, devil. So we ain't just making noise. We got teeth behind this. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I don't know. I don't know how you can worship God cold and formal. I don't know. Maybe you can. But I never found that in the Bible yet. And just because everybody can get fanatical and just get pumped up in emotion, you'll find people a lot of times, you know, even in Pentecostal things, and you'll recognize that, man, they just seem to enter right in. They just seem to shout and praise. Well, that's the problem, though. They base it on that emotion. So then when it comes to the truth, it don't seem to stimulate just right. So they just kind of look at you like, man, y'all just ain't quite got it. No, we ain't got a bunch of hoopla. If the truth don't stimulate you, something wrong somewhere. But when I begin to realize that when I was a sinner, that when I lived in sin and shame, that the mighty God came down and he took on flesh and he took my place and he reached down and pulled me out of the miry pit and said, come up here and be one of mine. I don't need to feel anything. I just need to know that that's true. Hallelujah. If he don't, like Brother Bram said, if he don't do no more than save me, I'm happy with that. As long as he saved me, I'm good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we want to be on the middle of the road. The message came to keep us in the Word. It came to make us so we didn't run off on tangents. It made it so we didn't have to make excuses for scriptures that look like they're on the other side and we don't quite like that. Hallelujah. Let's listen now. The Patmos Vision, 1960, says, now you see. So you see, we took the other side of the road. I've tried to be this, and our Lord has always revealed it to me. There's one extreme and another extreme, but right in the middle of the road lays the truth. Did you notice Isaiah when he said that there shall be a highway, Isaiah 35? Remember how our precious Nazarene brother used to sing that song, you know, the highway of holiness, highway of holiness. Now, if you read your Bible right, it doesn't say the highway of holiness. It says the highway and a way. And it shall be called not the highway of holiness, but the way of holiness. And is a conjunction that finishes your sentence. See, this makes sense. Just stay with me. There shall be a highway and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Not a highway of holiness. See, a road is built a way. A good road is built. The highest part is in the center because it lets all the trash wash off to both sides. Hallelujah. We're talking about being in the middle now. When a man really comes to Christ, he's got his eyes centered on Christ. If he's a little bit emotional, he'll be a fanatic. If he's a little bit cold, he'll be on this other side. But be just a cucumber over on that side, see, is intellectual. But the main thing is right in the middle of the road. With enough spirit in you, keep you warm and moving. Right, amen. And knowing enough to keep yourself under obedience to the Spirit to move just as the Spirit moves. Not till or not after. just as the Spirit moves. Hallelujah. Coming out of Y, 1961, let me read this. But I said sometimes ago, sometimes somebody does get off on the wrong end. And then what do you all do? You just jump plumb across the real thing, over, plumb over to that. And this over on this side, that's the real wildfire. Pour it plumb back over here to the cold old formal. I said, it's right in the middle of the road goes the genuine Holy Ghost, the church. Glory, them cold formals on one side and radix on the other. It's off, falls off the real thing. Isaiah said, it's 35, he said that the highway, Nazarene, I read that a little bit ago, same thing. He said, it's the middle of the road. Dr. Reed, I know you assembly brother. No, he's a darling brother, precious friend of mine. I was preaching on that one time. Brother Reed got up and said, you know what, brother Vibbert, I guess all of you know Brother Vibbert. He's my cousin. He's a big assemblies in Evansville, Indiana. We had a men's meeting over there Sunday. He said, Brother Branham talked about the middle of the road, said, that's not good driving ethics. So I happened to be standing behind him. He didn't know it. I said, you see, Brother Reed, just how earthly you can get, you assembly brethren. He's a precious brother, and the assembly is one of my greatest sponsors. So I said, you see, you just think about the earthly things so much and get in such a twist, so all you can think about is just the things of the earth. I said, sure, riding on earth, that's bad ethics. But this road I'm talking about, you don't come back. It's just a one-way ticket. Hallelujah. So that's why he's thinking of a two-lane road, and too many Christians got two-lane roads. We got one-way's fanatic, and one way coming back is formal, and we think, well, we just got to stay in the middle. You're going to wreck up all over the place. We want to find out which way is God's way of worshiping, which way is God's way of living, and I ain't pressing on going back. Jesus done told me, if I'm going to be his servant, don't even look back. That's right. We already got an example, don't we? Lot's wife done got pulled out by angels. We've been pulled out too. Hallelujah. But don't go be looking back. That's right. Turn her to a pillar of salt. And God let that be a witness to where Jesus even said, remember Lot's wife. Why? Because it's such a temptation. Not to go back, but to look back. Hallelujah. You say, what does that mean? It means you sold out to God. You believe the message. And all of a sudden you're like, well, that thing in the world wasn't too bad. I just watch it from over here. And then you know what happens? A watch becomes a little bit longer. Before you know it, becomes a pull. Before you know it, you're doing the same thing you were back when you were in the world. Hallelujah. But if you're a child of God, you can't stay out there. No, you can't. You got to come back. You got to get on this highway and start heading northward. That's right. As Moses, or was it Joshua, he said, you've been going around this mountain too long. You've been walking around in circles too much. Go northward. Take the land. Hallelujah. So we're talking about being balanced today. We're talking about staying. How many wants to be a real Christian? Right on the middle of the road. I don't want to be faulting on one side or the other. Sometimes, and that's what we just said. We've seen that too many times. Somebody will come from a fanatic church. And then they'll bash on that so bad that they just become the most formal and cold and indifferent people you can meet. They won't move. They won't do nothing because they'll think it's fanaticism all the time. And then you'll come from somebody who came from a formal church and says, man, if we ain't jumping and running and hitting them chandeliers, if we had some, we ain't having church. And you know what happens? Then you ain't never got any repentance. You don't even give a chance for somebody to give their heart to the Lord and recognize that sometimes we ain't need to be shouting the praises. We need to be shouting tears of repentance. Amen. You don't become a Christian with the joy of the Lord. You come to die. That's right. You die first. It's when you get resurrected that all of a sudden you got joy again. That's right. Hallelujah. When you plant a seed, it don't look like nothing's going on. It looks like it's just you're pouring on the water, right? Our tears of repentance on that don't look like nothing's going on. But just give it a little bit of time in that presence of God. Let the sun come down. Let the Holy Spirit anoint that. Then it'll begin to push out real life. Hallelujah. Not just a bunch of dead twigs that get blown in the wind once in a while, but something that got its life in itself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus stayed balanced with the Word. Yes, He did. And the Bible stayed in balance. And there's many things. This is where the unbeliever will find contradiction. He'll find two things that look like this is saying this and this is saying this. Sure. And you don't realize it's God keeping you on the middle of the road. He's saying, don't go over that way. Don't go over this way. Let me show you a few examples. If you've got your Bibles today, let's turn. I think I'll do this one first. Actually, where did I put that? I wrote it down in the office there. Let's go to Proverbs 1, and then we'll go to Jeremiah. Proverbs 1. Excuse me. Proverbs 1, verse 27. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me, and but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all of my reproof. Now turn over to Jeremiah 29. And let's go to verse 7. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye find ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye have caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. For I will be found in you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again to the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. So people begin to take this, just like Jesus said, seek and you find, knock, you'll be answered. You know, open or knocking will be open unto you. You understand these things. And people will say, well, I sought the Lord. I sought him with all my heart. And he not only didn't answer me, he told me he wouldn't. Hallelujah. There in Proverbs, he said, God said, I will not answer your prayers. But Lord, didn't you say, if I seek you, you'll always answer me? And then we turn over here where he said, look, not only it doesn't even matter. You haven't even sought me yet. But I'm telling you that when you do, I'm going to hear you. Man, this God's kind of partial, isn't he? But then you begin to look into what was said in the middle there. At the end of this first group, what did he say about them? You didn't care what I had to say about this. You didn't want none of my reproof. You didn't want my opinion. You wanted me to do it your way. No. And this other group, he says, when I saw you over there and you done tried all your way and made a whole wreck of this thing, and I know that you're going to seek me with all your heart, that you're going to actually want my opinion about it, and you'll hear me then. Hallelujah. It's true. Both scriptures are true. That's right. But it depends on what condition you're in. You want to hear from God? Well, I'm here to tell you, you better not be passing your opinion on to God. You won't hear from him. Hallelujah, that's right. You've got to learn to get away from your thoughts. Because as the Bible said, his thoughts are so much higher than yours. He knows how to work the end from the beginning. We can't figure out today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had another scripture. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 9. That Jesus was just as balanced as the Father, because it's all the same word. That's right. Hallelujah. And I kept thinking. I was like, I know there's another scripture. Go with this. And I was looking for it, couldn't find it. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to read my Bible. And I open it up and I turn one page and boom, there it was. I'm like, there, praise the Lord. I knew it was in there. I just couldn't word it exactly right. Luke 9, and I'm just going to read verse 50. Save a little time here. Actually, let's read 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he falleth not with us. Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Amen. All right, now hold on to that. Now go to Matthew 12. Excuse me. Verse 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Well, come on, Jesus, which one is it? If they're not with us, do we say they're not with us, or do we say they're really with us? Which is it, Jesus? And I hope that's getting your wheels turning a little bit. Some of you actually think, what did Jesus mean by that? Let's turn and let's balance this out with the Word. Mark. That's why the Word is so perfect. That's why when you know, the scoffer will look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, look at these little things that don't seem to line up. You just need the Holy Ghost to recognize that all needs to be there. The Scripture don't make sense. That's right. They need to be there to balance these things out and bring you right back to what the truth really was. Hallelujah. Let me see if I... Okay. Let's read the same thing that we read a little bit ago in Matthew, now here in Mark, verse 38, 9:38. And John answered, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle, listen, in my name, that can lightly speak evil of me. So now Jesus brings it to a focus here. What's he saying? He's saying, look, there's this group over here. They're using the name of Jesus. They're not part of our clique, but they're using the name that you ordained, Father. Come on now. And they're getting results. He said, don't you speak against that, because he can't lightly speak of me. Look, when I see a Pentecostal that'll stand for baptism in Jesus' name and stand for the power of God, I said, God bless them. They're not against us. That's a testimony to the Word. Hallelujah. But when you watch somebody that starts blasting that name, that's what he said when we read the other one where he says, you're not with me, you scatter abroad. He said, what do your children cast out devils with? Because they weren't using the name of Jesus. I hope this is making sense. God was bringing it to the middle of the Word. I believe that's where that foolish virgin is going to show up. That's just Brother Andrew. But I believe that's where they're at. They're not against it, but they're not actually in it. Listen now. They're the foolish virgins. Never really got the Holy Ghost, but they didn't speak against those that did. That's right. They said, that word's right. We believe in those miracles. We believe in holiness. We believe in the power of God. But just can't seem to grasp the revelation of the hour. How we ought to be so happy for election in this day. Hallelujah. That Jesus, look, when he said that this might look like a click to you, but he said, I chose you. I chose you and pulled you out. You're my apostles. There's other holy men. There's other men who could have been called, but they're not what you are. Don't ask me to explain the new world, but we understand that there's different types of people going to be there. That's right. There's going to be a bride. There's going to be a foolish virgin. There's going to be Jews. Who knows? The Gentiles will be on the earth. We understand these things. They're bringing in their fruits to the kingdom 12 times a year. Don't ask me to explain it, but I believe it. Amen. Amen. That's right. It's the Word of God. It's perfectly the way it needs to be. Amen. Just like when you witness, sometimes message people get too wound up in that. That they can't stay balanced like Jesus did. And then people begin to think you're in a cult. Oh, they prayed and they had a miracle. Oh, they can't be a God because they're not in the message. Be careful. And the prophet was just as careful about it. He said, when he preached anointed ones at the end time, he never said that ain't the Holy Ghost. He said, but then people on the inside aren't born again. But they have the genuine Holy Ghost working through that service. And if there's faith in a soul to grab healing, it'll grab it. Amen. If there's faith to prophesy, it will. Come on. High priest. Caiaphas, even he could have enough faith to prophesy. Didn't even know it. Hallelujah. We want to stay balanced today. What's the way we need to be? Well, look, you already know the Scripture. Jesus is the way. The way Jesus handled things, the way we ought to handle things. The way to stay on the middle is to stay pure with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This might not be screaming and shouting, but I think we need it. We need to know how to not run off on tangents. Hallelujah. That's why I've got some students, you know, that I've told you, is trying to serve the Lord and things. I don't go bashing everything they do. Praise God for it. I'd rather them doing that than out there in the bars and smoking pot like all the other kids are doing. Come on now. Who you can do a miracle in my name? You can't speak lightly of me. That's right. But they start going around and saying, you're a bunch of crazies. That Jesus name stuff's a bunch of heresy. That false prophet you follow, now that you let go. That's the devil. That's right. He says you start, Brother Bram said it this way, you start going to the serpent scene and things, and they start saying all manner of, he said, just let it go. Election's off. Just move on. Hallelujah. You say, well, that ain't very nice. What about Jesus when he said, you're of your father the devil. And his works shall do. We have Abraham to our father. Good theology. But he ain't balanced with the word, because the same God, that's why he went and pointed. He said, fine, I'll use your scripture. The God of Abraham is talking to you right now. Before Abraham was, I am. I was there. I know you think you know about it. You just read about it. I was there. I saw Abraham, and I'll tell you what he did. He looked for my day, and he rejoiced. Oh, he had a good shouting fit. And here you are fighting against it. You can claim to be a believer all you want to, but if you fight against the word of this hour, you're not in it. Amen. I don't think you're in any part of the kingdom. That's why it's such. That's why Jesus said it this way. He said, those Pharisees, he said, had I not come, they would not have, they would still have a cloak for their sin. But now they've seen the word manifested, and where much is given, much is required. What kind of condemnation is coming to these ministers that's been in the message 30, 40 years, and now have walked away and blasphemed it? What kind of condemnation is coming for that? Look, that's balanced, brother, sister. That's right on the middle of the road. Yes, it is. People who don't understand it, like Nicodemus, or Nicodemus, what's the Joseph of Arimathea, who were secret believers. They supported it. They put their hands to the word. It said Joseph of Arimathea craved the body of Jesus. He went there and he didn't go to nobody. He went to Pilate. He could have gotten in big trouble. He said, give me the body. Don't let nobody else touch it. Why? It says because he secretly believed it. But he feared men. That's right. I don't believe that's bride material. Bride material don't fear men. Bride material don't care about anybody but one. That's the master. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go. Balance. You want to know what balance is? It's 100% word, 0% the devil. That's balance, brother, sister. I was just actually talking. This is a real crude example. Brother Alex probably appreciate this. But, you know, it was Brother Alex. That's right. We're talking about Star Wars, actually. God help me, pray for me. But they always talk about balancing the force. And that's where I kind of it helped this idea out a little bit. And it said, you know, Anakin Skywalker, they always said the whole time, he's going to bring balance to the force, balance to the force, balance to the force. You know what he does? He kills all the bad guys. And you're like, that doesn't sound like balance. That sounds kind of one-sided. No, we're going to kill all the dark guys, die, and all the light guys, and that's balance. Amen. That's right. We're going to bring balance to this world. There ain't no darkness at all. That's balance. 100% light, 0% darkness. That's the balance we're looking for, brother, sister. Hallelujah. There you go. I hope that was all right. Coming out of oneness, Brother Bram, he was going to preach on oneness and things. And if you ever read oneness one time, my goodness. I remember when I first went into that, I thought he'd be talking about the Trinitarian doctrine and oneness and tying it all together. You know what he talks about in like 90% of the sermon? The bride in Christ. The whole time. That's all he's talking about over and over again. But like, he says, now this is teaching doctrine. And to the brethren who may hear this tape, I trust that it will not be an offense, but it'll cause you to take this very considerably, under consideration rather, that you would study it prayerfully, carefully, and weigh it out in the balance of God's Word, see, to see whether it be God or not. For I believe that that's the way we should do always, weigh things with the Word. We're talking about being balanced today. Because here's the thing, what we just read, a false balance, a misconstrued, is not okay. It's not just a little bad idea. The Bible's proclaimed a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. When you begin to tell people on both extremes now that if you ain't shouting and screaming, you ain't a Christian. Right. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, I'm sorry. Down to the soul, if you've really been saved by the grace of God, you'd be able to give a little hearty amen once in a while. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. But really, when it's all said and done, you've got to have the real God in you. That's what will prove you're a Christian. The life that's in you is the life of the Word, and it keeps you on the right path. Anything else is an abomination to God. What's an abomination? Filth, dirty, messy, nastiness. Just take the worst pile of goop you could think of and shove it up in your face. That's what an abomination is to God. And we'll just blaze right over the top of them. Wonder why Brother Brand was so hard about women wearing pants. The Bible said that's an abomination. Well, I'll say, you know, it's not a big deal. It's an abomination to God. It makes him throw up. So does homosexuality, so we might as well just go ahead and stick out now. That's a bunch of nonsense. We just heard, what's that church at the college, Dad? Church of Christ or whatever. They got a thing that says God is still speaking. and it's got the seven colors of the rainbow, you know, that they're, you know, God is still speaking. We can have gaze now. I was like, God is still speaking. He said, come out of her, my people. That's right. He said, you see that? That's death written all over. That's Ichabod as far as I'm concerned. But God has sent us a voice to bring us out of that nonsense, to say, look, you have to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Don't bring nothing to God. You have to be changed. You have to be molded. You have to be turned up from the ground up. Sure. But you don't stay the same once you start serving the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not saying God can't save a gay man. I'm not saying He can't save a lesbian. He can, but they won't stay that way. Just as much as God could save a liar, thief, come on now. But I ain't still a liar, thief there. Hallelujah. There ain't no sinner saints. That ain't balance. Hallelujah. It's either all saint. That's balanced. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy balance is not compromised, brother, sister. It has nothing to do with that at all. The closer you can get to hugging that mountain, the more balance you can get, because you won't topple and fall. Amen. You hearing me now? Let me finish that quote out. It says, for I believe that's the way we should always, you always weigh things with the Word, because the Word is the only thing that will be able to remain. I'm going to have to take a drink. Jesus said, both heavens and earth pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's why I believe it, and to believe it to be God's program. I believe that that is the finished work of God wrote down in the Word. Therefore, that if anything would come contrary to that word, it could not be God or God's plan. I believe it is the program. Now, the Spirit of God in the Word makes the Word live itself, act itself out. It brings the Word to life like a seed. Hallelujah. See, we're getting in a time now, brother, sister, where we're starting to get lax about things that the message used to be very strict on. We're getting very lax in things that you didn't think about, because everybody just did those things. That's right. It used to be where everybody prayed and read their Bible every day just because. It was just normal. Now we act like we're super spiritual because we picked it up for 10 minutes. We said, come on, God, I did it now. Where's my miracle? Hallelujah. Maybe some of y'all don't, but look, I've seen it too many times. People don't serve God for months and months on end. You know, you go to fellowship, you try to ask them, hey, what you reading the Word? I didn't read the Bible this week. You say, well, I guess we can't really fellowship because we ain't agreed. I did read my Bible. I did spend time with God. Hallelujah. I believe in doing that. It's not time for compromise. It's time to do. Let me just quote this to you. 1 Corinthians 5:6, your glorying is not good. Know ye that not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? A little false doctrine. That's why he said a little misbalance is abomination. Because if you let it go, it just compounds and compounds and compounds and compounds. Just think of a trader. And look, this meant a lot more back in that day than it does in ours now. We've got a lot of checks and balances for that. Somebody really can't sell you a pound of something and it'd be only half a pound. But there was a day you could. People were enough ignorance, they didn't really know that those things were hollow throughout and whatever. And then, look, first guy you rip off, that's $10. Then the next one's $10. It just keeps compounding the error over and over again until all that you have is a bunch of fake. Now, be spiritually minded. Don't give me all you just thinking back way then. Talk today now. We get this false service. Well, we know we hate each other. Come on. We know we do. Look, you got, if you got anything in you, look, you've been in them services. People act like they love each other. You know they don't. That guy can't stand him. And they won't make it right. They both got too much pride. It's time for pride to go ahead and lay it on the ground. That's right, and stomp it out. Hallelujah. There ain't no pride in Christianity. It's all God, zero us. That's good balance, brother, sister. That's really good. God don't need you. That's right. He just needs you to yield. That's right. We are vessels. We're hollow. We need to be filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But look, we have these false services, and you know, it just starts with a little error. And before you know it, the whole thing's fake. It's just a big farce. It just looks like a service on the outside, but when you go to look for God, He's nowhere. And some of you had that happen in your lives, and you woke up one day and said, I've been in this how long? Where's God? And you begin to trail it back, and you'll find, yep, way back here, they left Him. That little leaven, it looked so innocent. By the time it was done baking, my, you could tell the difference. What happens? Unleavened bread stays nice and flat. It stays humble. Leavened bread puffs up. That's right. And the longer you get it before you bake it, the more puffed up it gets. Amen. That's why Paul says this. He didn't say just deal with it and say it's okay. It's okay to let the TV and things back in. It's okay to just miss church. It's okay to just not read your Bible. It's okay to just be worldly. It's okay for our sisters to get short skirts and wear high heel shoes and put on makeup. Come on. It's okay for our men to tell dirty jokes and to kick it with the boys and go buy a lottery ticket. It ain't no big deal. Hope you didn't buy one. That's gambling, brother, sister. Look, and we begin to compromise it because of things like that. Well, it's $1.4 billion. That's okay. Throw your conviction out the window. Yep. You might not say it, but I've seen people lie for a lot less than that. Oh, yeah. Get out of ticket and say, well, it's okay. God understands. Yeah, he saw you. Right. Probably should have just told truth. Not probably. You should have. That's right. I just had my brother-in-law, and when we were down there in New Albany there, and he said something about getting one, a Powerball. And you know what? For that split second, I was like, well, you know, it's just $2. Not a big deal. But then my conviction just... Like, I'm not gambling, man. I said, no, I ain't interested. And I told some of my students, they were talking about getting tickets. Like, well, you can just give me your $2. I'll burn them here on the table and we'll come out the same result. I mean, hallelujah. Do you know people, I'm just going off memory here, but I think it was last year they spent $70 billion in America on lottery tickets. Think what that money would have done to the economy. Would have helped a lot more in government programs. But what is it? People have sold over to the devil. So they lost a little balance, saying, well, it's just a little harmless gambling. Before you know it, you don't realize how much money you blew on that. And they say, who's the worst? The poor people. The ones that don't have the means to even do it are the ones doing it with this false hope that maybe one day I'll strike the jackpot. Hallelujah. But as Paul said here, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. God help us. Purge it all out, brother, sister, as you're unleavened. For even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus said it this way, no man can serve two masters, for either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Don't tell me a balance is doing letting things of the world come in and keeping it balanced, brother, sister. That ain't balance at all. Balance is making sure God's in it and the devil's out. Hallelujah. If you've got a question in it, kick the thing out. That's right. We've been letting too much of these things influence our children, too much influence our houses, too much influence our marriages, for crying out loud. We began to look at these things in Hollywood and think that's the way it's supposed to be. That's why it's on TV, because it's fake. Hallelujah. That's why the world don't want marriage no more, because they don't understand anything of real value. It's all superficial. It's all feelings. It's all what you see, what you get, me, 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 me. And you don't realize at the end of the day, you're the most depressed person on the earth. Hallelujah. Even psychologists will tell you that if you want to be happy, live for other people. And all they did was take a little truth off of God's word. That's right. Because eternal life is living for others. That's balanced. Don't tell me you need to watch out for yourself. You don't. You need to let God watch after you. Hallelujah. That's balanced. You don't need to put God second, third to keep him balanced with everything else in your life. He can beat all of it. That'll keep you balanced. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't serve God a mammon. Because look, that little leaven, we've all had this happen. If it might happen to you right now. Letting a little thing in the world come in. Saying, well, it's okay to do this. Ain't no big deal as long as I keep it under control. Begin to realize, wow, I never kept this under control, and I never could. Right. And I never will. Amen. Hallelujah. This thing's just poison. That's all it is. Would you take arsenic knowing it was arsenic? Of course not. It's the same thing with the things of the world. Right. That's right. And look, it ain't to kill you. That's to kill you. It ain't killing you to preach about it. It's trying to help you. Amen. That's right. Because look, that thing will kill you. I don't care if you don't like me saying it. I don't care if you like Brother Bram saying it. We just listen on the tape away here. Brother Bram saying, quit being a big sissy. Do what the Word said. And I'm like, man, maybe I ain't got this all wrong after all, Brother Dan. Maybe I'm just preaching the same thing he was. Hallelujah. Because that's why, look, Brother Branham wasn't rejected for no reason. He was offensive to people that were in denomination. Look, I remember, I think it was the rapture sermon, maybe not, but one of the sermons started toward the end. A sister was walking out, and somebody said, where are you going? He said, well, according to that man, my husband married a whore. Listen to that now. Speaking about Brother Branham. Come on now. Can't use the word whore. See how you let the word in? You let the world in? As long as you use it in the context of the Bible, that's right. See, we've let the world dictate how we do things. Sure. And there's other words in here I could say that would be real offensive to some people. Yep. Amen. You know what? I've quoted scriptures to students and looked at me kind of funny. He's like, well, I'm actually using the word hell in the right way. Maybe you should try it one time. How about you quit saying Jesus Christ in the wrong way? Maybe we could try that sometime.
Sure.
And they never get the fact that you don't say, oh, Buddha, or oh, Mohammed. Why are you using his name in vain? Because your Father makes you. Glory. Well, if I was balanced, I wouldn't offend anybody. Oh, yeah, you will. Hallelujah. Let me find what Brother Branham said. I love this. I think I quoted you, Brother Kent, when we were talking the other day. Let me find where. He's talking about Jezebel and the prophet coming and cursing him. He says, the dogs will lick your blood. Now, how could that vindicate a prophet saying anything that wasn't the will of God? And how the dogs would eat Jezebel and the dung upon the field so that they wouldn't say, here lays Jezebel. With a curse like that on a man, how could anybody bless? That's the way it is today. How can a man bless these things that's taking people further from God all the time? Let's just stop right there. Don't get on people's cases because they preach against things that you know are driving you from God's presence. Don't think anything's a blessing if it keeps you away from your prayer life. If it keeps you away from joy of the Lord. If it keeps you away from being satisfied in God's Word. It's the devil.
Amen.
That's right. It ain't balanced to accept that. It's balanced to kick it out. How can a man bless these things that's taking people from further from God all the time? There's only one thing to do. If you had to stand by yourself, curse this thing in the name of the Lord and stay with it when you're absolute.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Branham, you make people hate you. God will love me. That's my absolute.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. This sermon was hard to finish. I'm not going to lie. I kept going back and back and back. That's some good word right there. Amen. Let me read you this. Brother Branham talking about the world getting in church and things, 1957. He says, washing Jesus' feet. There he was sitting there, just a wallflower. I say this with respect and not critical, but I say it knowing that I've got to face him someday in the judgment. Jesus Christ is no more than a wallflower in a lot of your big morgues around here. That's right. The only thing you use is his name. He can't come in and be blessed and worshiped by his saints. You won't permit it. You've got too worldly. That's what's the matter. You took up to something else, just like an old Pharisee was. You took up to things in the world. You have to stay and see Who Loves Susie, and you have to see Arthur Godfrey go down and get Elvis Presley records and play them. And call yourself Christians, you are weighed in the balance and found wanting. And when you do go to church, just a little sideline or something. Let that one sink in. Don't worship in vain. They do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's Matthew 15:9. In vain. Don't do no good to worship. If you worship like that, Jesus said it was in vain. Do you see why it's such an abomination to get off balance? Because then you'll teach it as a doctrine of men. You'll come to come up with excuses and say, don't worry about those quotes. That don't apply to now. That needs updated. That was back in the 60s. Come on, you old fogey. It's like, well, Genesis was back in B.C. 3000.
Yeah, right.
Does that need updated?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn with me. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. I hope this is speaking to you.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. So let me just stop right there. These men, these are all characteristics of all these men. It's not just these are this, these are that. These are things that are worm eaten throughout all of mankind at this time. So listen. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. So there it is. Blaspheming that holy name. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. That's right. Don't let the bars down. Amen. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Not only. See, this isn't the group that doesn't speak against it, but says, look, I believe that they hate those that are good. They hate when you walk holy. They hate when you convict them with your presence. Amen. And Brother Branham done said too, there's certain people that don't get convicted by nothing because they're so possessed of the devil that they'll just spit, just like Cain talks smack right in God's face. That's right. It's just like those Roman soldiers spit and make fun of him. That's right. There's people that's that devil possessed. That's right. But look, there's certain people that God can still move on a little bit. You are the only example that they have. And when you begin to get, they get convicted and things, sure, they might fight your brother or sister, but hold on the good fight of faith. That's the only hope they have, Amen. Is that you stay balanced with the Word. Amen. The spies are those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's not just the power to heal. That's the power to transform. That's the power to say we don't have to live in the things of the world. That's the power to say I can live in 2016 in America, in Laodicea, and not have a TV in my house. And not go to the movies. And not do the things of the world. And not get wrapped up in sports like everyone else. Come on. Don't get quiet on me. Because those things, they do not drive us closer to God. I'm just going to have to say it. Heard a brother talking to me the other day, and he was talking about how another brother came to him and said, you know, he was kind of feeling bad because he's like, man, I could kind of use another gun, or I kind of want another gun, but I don't really feel like I need it. I feel like I could go without it. He had maybe six guns or something. He's like, but I kind of felt like I needed another one. And then he said, but then I was looking. I was kind of getting convicted and things. But then I looked and I saw a picture of Brother Branham's den room. And it said, there's probably 20 guns in that room. And a bunch of big game and things. He said, well, I didn't feel too bad about it anymore. I thought, well, that sounds awful good. But then I watched how this brother used it. He said, I begin to realize that it's okay to have a hobby. Sure, it is okay to have a hobby. That's how we stay balanced. That's how we don't go crazy, saying we can't have any fun ever. That's what too many of us tried to teach back in the day. Some of y'all that grew up in the message, the only thing your parents had to tell you was two-letter word, no. Can we go outside? No. Can I hang out with? No. Can you? No. No. And you don't replace it with anything. And you wonder why they resent you. You wonder why some people grew up saying, I never had a childhood. Right. They couldn't even have friends. You're too afraid that they would get wound up with some serpent seed. They couldn't even talk to nobody. What kind of faith is that? Right. It's one thing to go out and do things in the world, but if your kids want to go outside and play for a little bit, I think that's okay. Yep. Hallelujah. But this brother was saying that, you know, it's okay to have a hobby and it's okay to even invest in this hobby. You know, like brother, he was saying, Brother Bram, how all these guns, which would have cost money and things. And I said something like, well, you know, a lot of those were given to him, right? Yeah. You know, a lot of those hunts, he went and prayed. Yeah. And did it to get away for a little bit, to recuperate, because he just, I mean, I remember one time I looked and he preached 20 times in 1 month. Uh-huh. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, I got maybe 10 tops and I think I'm getting wore out. You know, I can't imagine doing 20 traveling the whole time. My goodness, what a sacrifice. And people think, well, see, and he was saying, like, it's okay to invest in this hobby. So he's saying, see, it's okay for me to buy video games and to play them. True story. I'm not making this up. It's okay to spend hours playing games because it's just my hobby and I'm allowed to invest in a little bit. Okay, that sounds awful good on paper. That sounds nice and balanced, but it's sure way off the beaten path. You can pray hunting, okay? God's in nature, sure. You don't pray playing a video game. You don't get with God in a video game. I don't care who you are. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. You don't. How do you know, Brother Andrew? Because I have played them. And I have never had a breakthrough in prayer while playing a video game. I've never felt the presence of the Lord playing a video game. I've never had the peace of God playing a video game because I get mad. I can't beat the stupid thing. But you see how the devil will do that? Yeah. Yep. Are you trying to see what I'm getting at tonight? Yes. The devil will take that and say it's just a little harmless fun. Be careful with that term. Right. If it's got a little devil, ain't it a little harmless? Right. That's right. You say, is it okay to go outside and play? Sure. Is it, even video games as a whole entirely. Can you play Tetris on your phone? See, that's where you get to legalism, right, where you're just stupid. Right. Let's be honest. But be careful. Stay balanced with the Word. Amen. It'd be a lot nicer for us instead of pulling out our phones, look like the rest of the world. To be honest with you, I don't think even if you were reading a message, you still don't look like a Christian.
Nope. That's right.
You look like everybody else.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
It used to be a testimony for you to pull one of these things out of your pocket and go to reading, you know, and somebody looks and say, hey, what you reading? Say a sermon.
Right.
Or your Bible. How about for that?
Yes.
And I told her brother, I said, I've got apps on my phone and my iPad and things, but I'll be honest with you, I don't use them. I don't. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't use them. Because if I'm going to read the Bible, I pick up the Bible. If I'm going to read a message, I've learned to just read the message. Now, if I'm searching for quotes and things, obviously I'll use a search. Thank God for that. You know, it'd be a lot harder than they used to do it back in the day. But I tell you what, we were a lot closer to God back then. Amen. That's right. Why? Because now it's the time. The pressure's coming on all sides. And what's it trying to do? It's just trying to get you out of balance. It's trying to get you off the word. Don't think balance is teeter-tottering like this. Think about it as someone trying to stand. It's getting you out of balance. So it doesn't matter which way it comes. You're going to start falling. Amen. If it's a little legalism, you need to come back over here. Now, don't go so far over there. You're a total fanatic and fall this way. That's why Brother Bram was saying, you know, you got people over here, and they'll just correct it all the way over here. And say, man, if anybody shouts, it's just a hypocrite, because I came from a church that shouted, and they're all hypocrites. If nobody can say anything ever, then they're all just devil-possessed worshipers, a bunch of serpent seed. I've seen on both ends. But where's the truth? It's right there in the middle. People, and really just when you break a person down in their soul, do they love God? That's when you find that balanced Christian. That's when you find that Christian that can wiggle a little bit in the presence of God, but doesn't just start doing cartwheels just because he has to. Hallelujah. But being honest with you, I don't even know if I can preach fanaticism on that side because I haven't seen it in years. I've seen formalism all over the place, but you might think you've seen fanaticism, but I actually have. I've seen people that just are jumping around just because. They don't have no clue what they're doing. I've been at youth meetings where you see a bunch of young people and you're like, dude, you're not even serving. I just was talking to you earlier today. You don't care about God at all. What are you even doing? You shouldn't be back here dancing. You should be up there crying. That's right. Like the one minister, when I went to a camp, he said, you know, he had got on the internet or something. Maybe it was Facebook or what. I don't know. It might have been one of those older things. He said, he went on this one young man's page. He said, oh my, he went to the world, you know. Started looking through the things that he had on there. He said, he's at camp today. He's here. He's just like everybody. He's just blending right in the crowd, acting like he's a Christian. He said, I thought he was out in the world. Well, he is. That's the problem. He's out of balance. He's in church thinking I can have church on this side, world on this side, and I'm balanced. No, you're done teetered off, about to die. That's right. Why? It's the end time, brother, sister. The devil's been allowed to give pressure on every angle. Sure, but don't trust yourself. Don't think I can stay balanced. He is the balance. Jesus is the one that'll tell you when to say this side and when to say that side. That's why you ain't got no business worrying about how somebody else handled it. Let the Holy Ghost dictate it. Amen. Just like we said, we had Jesus saying, if they're not for us, they're against us. And over here saying, if they're not for us, don't bother with them. Hallelujah. How do you know which one to say when? Because he let the Father speak through him. Hallelujah. And God has brought us to that revelation again that the Father is truly in us. And we don't have to figure out the situation. We can't figure out the situation. But there's a God who tells us what to do. He tells us what to say. He tells us how to testify and not drive people away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I still believe it with all my heart. There's got to be a few more. There's got to, brother, sister. Even if it's just our families, praise God. I believe that promise. I do. Stay on the Word. Stay balanced with the Word. Hallelujah. Listen to the Holy Ghost. That's the real way to stay balanced. That's what Brother Brandon was talking about in the absolute. He said, he breaks down what's an absolute, absolute, absolute. He said, it's when you know that you've got the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he's really God on the inside of you. He'll keep you on the right track. Let me finish on this. Easter Seal 1961. You loving the Lord?
Yeah.
Amen. They refused his messiahship when he showed them he was the Messiah. They were forced to say something. How many's been there? Did you hear what I said? Forced to say something about it because all of a sudden the situation's in your hands. You didn't ask for it, but it came. That's when you know it's time to speak up. You go looking for fights, you'll get beat up. But if the fights come to you, God will stand for you. Yes, he will. He'll never let you down. And so are they today. Turning it down won't spawn their hands from it. The decision is forced upon them. There's no middle road. See, there's no middle road on this. The middle of the road is Christ. And you have to either pick him or not. There's no like in between there somewhere. It's either all or nothing. That's what we're talking about, the wrong middle of the road. Are you hearing me tonight? People try to balance that. I can have half God, half the Word. I can have half what I used to believe out there and half of the message and kind of just mumble it together the way I want to. And if I don't like that quote, I'm allowed to just push it over here. It doesn't really matter. Look, it's either Malachi 4 is sent to us to restore us or it wasn't.
Right.
Either Jesus said Elias will truly restore or he didn't mean that.
Amen.
Amen. It's all or nothing. There's no middle road. We're at the end time. Man's forced to receive it or reject it. You've got to accept it or turn it away. It's forced upon America. It's forced on the Branham Tabernacle. Think on that for a minute. It's forced on the Pentecostals, on the Methodists. It's forced everywhere. You have to take it or leave it. God has confirmed His Word, showing His signs, backing His ministry, showing exactly what He is by proving that He's God. Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. That's right. But if I do the works of my Father, then believe the works. There you are. See, they can't find nothing in that because that's true. Then why don't they receive it? It's because of denomination. They can't receive it, so they're forced now to make a showdown. Brother, sister, if you've had any doubts, and I can say amen to this, if you have any doubt about what you believe, if you have any doubt about the message of the hour, any doubt about the Word of God, the devil will find it. And he will just keep poking it through, poking it through, poking it through. Sister Vi, I wasn't just making fun of you earlier today when I sent you that quote, saying, actually, I'll just find it. It's talking about mathematics and things. And I've told you guys this a few times. Where was I at, sis? Had to be told. Did you look at the page number? Here it is. Because remember, I'm a math teacher now. Don't get too carried away here. I'm still a human too. Now listen, he says, when a man in mathematics tried to break down or tried to show by his education, he'll run you crazy. You can't do it. And I've already tried to explain this to some brothers before. You know, they'll want to talk into some deep, you know, physics or whatever. And I was like, look, I'll give you about 10 minutes and I'm going to prove to you that we don't know lick about anything. You know, and I begin to go into certain, like, dimensions, for instance, that, you know, we talk about one dimension, two dimensions, and three dimensions. There ain't no one or two dimensions. It's all here.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yeah, right.
So they all exist together. So if there's a fourth dimension, it's here.
Right.
If there's a fifth, it's here. Right. If there's a sixth, it's here. If there's a seventh, it's here. You can't make sense of it. And I did a whole big mathematical proof back when I was in college of taking a line that went forever and fitting it in this line that's only this long. How does that make a lick of sense? But I proved it mathematically. Then I took a whole plane and fit it into a little cube right here. Not only just a little cube, but I used enough it's infinitesimal, as small as it could be, but still exist. And the whole flat plane, all the universe of it, fit in that box. So if that be the case, what could you do with this whole universe? You could take, it looks endless, it looks huge, but if you just had another dimension to work with, you could just, He's got the whole world. In His hands.
That's right.
That's exactly right. We think about teleporting and think, oh, no, that's crazy. We think, oh, that's just in the movies, but Jesus did it.
That's right.
Philip did it.
That's right.
And then you just begin, just right there, I can just show you, just if there's another dimension, it's very easy. You just go up to a fourth dimension, which I can't explain, but if it existed, it'd just be like being a radio wave. You just, boom, you're in it. You go where you need to go. Boom, you come back. Done. It looks like teleportation, but it's just another dimension. And see, if we keep thinking that, it'll do what we just read there. It will drive you crazy. Because you'll be going and like, well, I got to make sense of that. And you make sense of that and sense of that. And before you know it, you got to give up. That's right. Explain where anything started. Anything. Pick it. Tell me how to explain where it started. Where did this come from? Well, it came from the shop that, you know, they built it. Where did that come from? Come from the sawdust that they put together. Where did that sawdust come from? That tree that was over there. Where did that tree come from? From the ground that was on it. Where did that come from? The seed that was before it. Where did that come from?
Right.
Where did it start?
Yeah.
You can't explain it. We just believe it.
Right.
God said it, and there it was.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why the atheists anymore, I don't have a lot of time for them. Go ahead. Explain to me anything. Because it's one thing, do you know what agnostic means? I'm trying to wrap this up. I hope this is okay tonight. Agnostic means that you don't know if there's a God or not. Atheist is saying there is no God. What a bold, stupid statement to say. That you literally have enough evidence to say that no matter where out in the universe, there is no God anywhere. And you can't explain anything. Why is the moon where it's at? We can't. Some people think we caught it. And the same guy probably can't catch a baseball, and you tell me the earth could just catch a moon. And then how did Jupiter? It caught seven of them. Oh, that was, or 13 or whatever it is. And not only that, but it caught it right in this perfect spot so we could live. Oh, wow, how did the earth get just right here to where it's right from the sun to where we can live? How come all these things? And if you begin to think about it, everything out there is for this planet.
That's right.
That's balance, brother, sister. That it's all about God and what he wanted. What did he want? He wanted his family. He wanted her to have a home. Hallelujah. He didn't want none of the world in there. He didn't want to compromise at all. He wanted every part of her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've come to the time now where we've got to be forced. Are we going to believe this with all our hearts? Hallelujah. I ain't talking about explaining it. Let me just finish that. Tries to break it down, he'll drive you crazy. You can't do it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't do it. Don't try to figure it out. God is past figuring out. You don't figure out God, you just believe him. That's the secret.
Amen.
I want to overcome. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to get right. Brother Andrew said I need to be in balance. That ain't the secret. The secret is God, keep me on your word because you told me to. Whatever you tell me, I'll do it. That's it. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're looking for something deep and it's been hitting us in the face for so many years we ignore it. Do that and then God will give you something deep. You don't figure out God, you just believe him. That's the secret. Don't figure out, just believe you. Listen to the prophet now. Listen to this. I can't tell you what it means. I can't tell you how to do it. I just know I just believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Brothers, don't ask me how to get somebody healed. I don't understand how it works. Don't ask me how to get somebody saved. Don't ask me how to get somebody the Holy Ghost. Don't ask me these little questions and how do we keep from the things of the world. I don't know how to do it. I just know how to believe God.
Amen.
God said, you're my people. You're my peculiar people. I've pulled you out of the world to be mine. That means he said, you can be holy as me.
Yes.
Don't ask me to explain it. I just know how to believe it. Amen. How do I get to victory? Because I believe that when God looks at me, he sees his son. When he looks at me, he sees the pure, holy blood of the Son of God that was shed for me. He doesn't see me. He sees Christ.
Amen.
And to know that in God, before the foundation of the world, that's why he said, I know the thoughts I've had for you.
Yes.
Thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Why? Because you were in the beginning.
Amen.
Glory to God. I feel like preaching, but I got to close soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love him?
Yes.
Do you appreciate him?
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Are you saying, Lord, bring me back? Just bring me back right to that middle of the road, right to that rock solid foundation where I don't get pushed with feelings or with little doctrines and little ideas and little quotes that people use and totally mess up everything. Hallelujah. But I know how to stay right on the word. I know how to listen to the Holy Spirit in my life. And know that he is God. And that he's figured this all out. He knows how to get me in a rapture.
Amen.
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 He already did it. I just need to believe him tonight.
Amen.
Let's praise him tonight. Let's stand together.
Praise.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to walk with him. Right there in that middle of the road. I don't care if it's not popular. I don't care if people hate me. Lord, just let me know that you're there.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Just let me always have that presence with me. Let me never try to trek life alone. Gee, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Worship him now. Oh, hallelujah. The joy
we share as we tarry there,
none other has ever. Let's keep singing that chorus. Hallelujah. Children, you and me. be sitting here believing this?
And the joy we share as we tarry.
Eyes closed before him. Brother, sister, hallelujah. Too many Christians don't have the victory. Too many Christians live in defeat day after day, service after service. Why? Because you've allowed something in your life that's got you out of balance. And instead of facing up to the issue, instead of knowing that God's already revealed to you that it's wrong, you made excuses. You've allowed it to take over your lives. I'm not saying that presumptuously. Some of you have done this for a long time. It's time to take that kernel that the devil's put in your life and cast it into God's fire. Is there anyone who raise your hand and say, Lord, that's me. I surrender. God bless you, brothers. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sis. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Let it go. Now you got to totally surrender. Just go. Let it out. Look, it'll bring tears. It'll bring repentance. That's what we want, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surrender that thing. Don't leave any love for it, brother. I warn you in Jesus Christ's name, if you hold on to any love of that thing of the world, it will come back. I say that in the name of the Lord because I've seen it happen in my life. Just left a little love for that thing. For you know what? I do it all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is speaking to us closer than you might realize. Why? Because he knows the end time's closer than you might realize. And it's not time to let the poison of the devil get into our experience and get us all worried about and fretting and shaking our knees. It's time to be bold in the presence of God, knowing that, Lord, I've done what you told me to. I command. How do we know we're in him? Because we obey his commandments. And John said it this way, his commandments are not grievous. Why? Because just look, brother, sister, if you'll just obey, all the pressure leaves. That's all it is. That's why you're under pressure all the time. Because deep down, you know you're convicted about it. Deep down, you know it bothers you. Deep down, you know it bothers God. And it's a wedge. Look, brother, sister, I don't care if there was another woman that I just kissed one time. It would ruin my marriage with my wife. Hallelujah. Bring that on home now. You're his wife. You're his bride. Just one other lover, look, it don't work that way. He's got to be the only one. He's got to be the one that you walk with, that you love. It's not bad to have hobbies, but brother, sister, let God give you a hobby. Something that you can enjoy with his presence, not enjoy leaving his presence. Hallelujah, just letting the Holy Spirit work. Do you feel his presence around you? Because it's all over this place. Hallelujah. There's a quote I just thought of this the other day. I can't tell you if it was someone else or it just came to me. But look for a man in his leisure and you'll find where his heart is. Look for a man does when he's got his choice. He can do whatever he wants. And you'll find where his heart is. Too many of us Christians, brother, sister, we go to things of the world. We go to little pleasures and we leave God in the trunk. We say, we're on vacation. We don't need to pray while we're here. Come on, we don't need to read. We don't need to be with God. And you left him back in the trunk. You left him back at home. Some of us do that when we go to someone's house. Don't want to offend them, so don't say nothing about it. Brother, sister, if they're supposed to be Christians, you be a witness. Amen. If they're of the world, you still be a witness. Don't just be one of the chum. Don't be one of the worldly ones. You stick out for Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Just open up real big. Just go and talk to him about it. He's already heard some of you. Look, just keep pressing it. Say, Lord, Lord, that was for me. I thank you for it. I'm delivered today. I believe that with all my heart. I can't explain it. Don't ask me to explain it. Don't ask God to explain it. Just surrender. Just believe it with all your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Believe with everything in you that the Holy Spirit came to bring us to freedom. Glory to God. Keep on pressing. Don't leave it. Don't leave that little love there. Let it die today. Hallelujah. Crucify it with Christ and with all the affections of the world. And brother, when you wake up tomorrow, crucify it again. Just keep it dead. Keep away from those things. Stay with Him. If you can't take Christ with you, don't do it. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you, saints. God, give your desire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this service. I thank you, Lord, for the sincere hearts of these people. Lord, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that every devil that tries to keep them from it, Lord, that tries to tell them to wait till tomorrow or it's okay to settle, Lord God, may all those voices be stilled by the thunder of God's voice that says, get right today. Get in my presence. Live for me with all your heart. Lord God, may it resonate in our souls. May the victory be in every Christian's heart, we pray. My hands raised as well. Lord, we want to be vessels for the Master's use. We want to love your presence. We want to hate the things of this world. Create in us a new heart, Lord. Take away everything that's contrary to your word. We just dedicate, we surrender as we raise our hands and we believe you, Lord, that you promised to deliver us, that you promised to be our God and our Savior. You promised when we sought you with our whole hearts that we would hear from you, Lord. And we believe that today we've heard, that we've heard from heaven, to not go to that abomination of doctrine, that abomination of some false balance, but to stay right true with you, right on the concrete word of Jesus Christ. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for speaking. Lord, we commit to you now in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Amen. If you have a need tonight and want prayer, come now, please. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't, that's fine. Excuse me. If you don't, that's fine. Just worship Him now. Worship Him free. Look, if you've let that thing go, don't sit there in doubt and fear. Raise your hands and worship God. Raise with the victory of Jesus Christ. Say, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is my God than the temptations of Laodicea. Oh, praise His name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Burn all these things, Lord. Let us be perfect in thy sight, Lord, by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. It's possible by God's Spirit, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Not in the flesh and all these things. We can't self-will it. God's will is for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, worship Him in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just stay in prayer. Stay in love. Stay in worship. Worship Him in spirit and truth. Worship Him according to the Word. Hallelujah. And He is Lord. He is Lord. Sing it now. He has risen from the dead. He's risen in you. Hallelujah. We're dead to the things of this world. Thank you, Jesus. Every knee shall bow. For it. Thank you, Lord, for being so mindful for our smallest needs. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let Him have full reign tonight. This infirmary. May this be a witness, a testimony of thy word that it's still true, that you're still healed. May you be able to bring souls to your kingdom through it. We commit it to you, Lord, and for thy glory we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit have His way tonight. Hallelujah. Let Him take full control. It's where it's not your thoughts anymore, it's just His. Thank you, Lord. It's just a word flooding your soul. Oh, praise your name, Lord.
He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we surrender. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's my Lord. He's my conqueror. Thank you, Jesus.
He is Lord.
Yes, Lord. Listen, He's my Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, He's my Lord.
Yes, Lord.
He has risen.
Help my brother but you, Lord. Let the revelation of thy word in his soul that he is a Christian, he's been delivered from all these torments of the devil from all these years, that he is a born again child of God, given the victory by the blood of the Lamb. We believe it with all our hearts, Lord. May every root of bitterness, everything the devil's planted, Lord, be uprooted by the Holy Spirit, that my brother would know, Lord, may you come and fill the gaps with thy spirit, from his soul to his spirit to his body, that no matter what the devil might say, how many might tempt, we bind in faith now as two eagles, eagle to eagle, believe in thy word, let us soar to the heavenlies with thy promise. Lord, we believe it with all our hearts. We feel your presence all around us. Thank you for the victory, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Oh, we praise your name today, Lord. We thank you for accepting us. I believe with all my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. We just praise you. Satan, you're just a farce. You have no power. You've been exposed. Go walk in dry places in the name of Jesus Christ. Be thou restored, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what a presence. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's here, brother, sister. And he's still Lord. Hallelujah. He's still in control. He's still got the sword in his hand. And the devil can't do anything about it. Just cut away those promises in the name of Jesus Christ. What a presence, brother. Thank you, Lord. That's the Holy Spirit, brother, sister. That's the one.
one that just gets in your soul. You just feel like you could explode in the power and presence of God. Don't get away from the supernatural. That's why we come to church. We come to be in that presence. We come to see God manifest Himself in our lives. Don't ever get away from that. Hallelujah. It's not balanced to have some spirit and no spirit. It's all God or no God. It's all the Word or no Word. We're in the broad age. It's time for the broad to be who she is. The Word made flesh again. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship in the Spirit. Worship free of sin. Hallelujah. Just raise your hands and praise Him.
About every time come.
A shout of praise tonight. Give worship unto His name. Oh, we thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Yes, Father. Thank You for Your power and presence, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Have you heard from heaven today? Has the Holy Spirit come and quickened that word to you? Brought you right back where you need to be. Press on forward, brother, sister. Don't never fight. Don't never lay back. Don't never let that devil come by again. Keep him out of your life. You'll have that joy you always seek after. Hallelujah. Just gives new life to this song. I got to sing it. It's just G, Dad. Let's praise Him tonight. It's the Holy Ghost in fire, and it's keeping me alive.